glad to have you with us tonight as we talk about our trip to Brazil on November the 13th. 20 of us met here in the parking lot and got on our big bus, and Brother Bob drove us to Knoxville, and we boarded the plane in Knoxville. It was kind of eventful. We got on the plane and we looked out and there were snowflakes coming down, and they said, we're going to have to sit here for about a half hour or so while we de-ice the plane. I thought, great. Great start to a trip. But everything went very well. We flew to Dallas and got on a beautiful 777 and took a 10-hour flight overnight and arrived in São Paulo and went through customs without any problems. We had a team t-shirt. I don't know if that helped or hurt, but I think they saw we were a group going through, and we were able to take all kinds of luggage for Nathan and to kind of get them started. And also took some things for Brother Rom and his wife, and spent 8 days. We met Graham there at the airport and spent a while there and took a bus out to the camp. And you'll see pictures in a moment of the camp, and you'll see pictures probably of two houses. One of those is a house that was a flat roof, which is the house Nathan and his family will be living in when they go in January. Several problems. It leaks. And two, because being a flat roof, all the heat goes right in the house. And so our job was to design, which is Buddy's job really, design a pitched roof to put on the building, and that would help with the heat and also help make it waterproof. And you may hear later on about the fact that it stood the test, which is really exciting. But we really basically every morning we got up and about 6:30 and sun came up, we got up and went to work. And these folks really worked hard. I'm going to have everybody stand. We had 20 folks. If you went to Brazil here, if you're able to stand, some are still recovering. Some of these folks, Teresa, had you never been on a plane before? So she started out, first plane ride was 2 hours to Dallas and then 10 hours to Brazil. She also was sitting there like this. There are imprints of her hands on the seats forever, I think. On the way back, she did sleep, so she did well. But Graham came to me one day and he said, boy, this has been a great team. He said, they have worked so hard and they've done so much. And he said, they've not complained. They've just pitched in. Now, we suffered, folks. We only had steak, I think, 4 times while we were there. It was difficult. Preacher, you've been to those churrascaria. We made it to 2. And then Graham cooked steak for us, too. But these folks really labored hard, and thank you, folks, for all your great work. It cost each of them $1,800. The whole Davis family went. You can multiply that. These folks make sacrifices to serve the Lord. And thank you. You may be seated. What we're going to do tonight is we have given all the pictures that were taken to Angela, and you're not going to see them all. Don't worry. That would take quite a while. But she has taken those pictures and kind of try to tell the story of our trip. I have not seen it. This is a disclaimer. Anything embarrassing, I know nothing about it. So, but you will get an idea of what occurred during this time in Brazil and a little flavor of the country. And then we're going to have six or seven of our team members come and give testimonies. And our desire as a pastoral staff is for many members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to spend time on the mission field. Whether it is a foreign mission field or whether it's helping a church plant here in America. And our desire, our goal, is to have at least one mission trip every year, possibly even two, one out of the country, one in country. How many of you have been to a foreign field? You've been to a foreign field. Oh, many of you. Wonderful. All of you know that you will never understand the missionary until you see it firsthand. And these folks got to do that. And so you're going to get a feel for that tonight, and then they're going to give you some things that God worked in their hearts about, and then Pastor will close at the end. So, Mike, if you want to show these pictures, please. Thank you. that's starting over, correct? You want to see it again? You know, you've gotten a little touch of what the Lord used these folks to do, but really, I wish we could have taken y'all with us and you could have seen these folks working and laboring. The woodworking that the ladies worked on all week was for Graham and Renee's new house, which would be right by the house that we worked on for Nathan. And, you know, the thing that strikes me is God brought the right people on the trip to do the right work. I mean, the ladies were taking the woodwork, and we've got Miss Woodworker herself, the Beverly Lovegrove, you know, and so she took over that project and headed it up, and of course we made sure Buddy was there so we knew what to do, and everybody did their job. Everybody just did their job, and so much was accomplished for the Lord, and just had a great time together. And I'm going to, at this point, turn it over to our folks, and we have one lady who's going to speak, my wife, voluntarily, and she's going to come and speak first, and then we've got six or seven others here to continue to speak.
Thank you, Angela, for doing that. That was such a blessing. A lot of good memories there for us. Like most of you, this whole week I have been thinking about all of the things I have to be thankful for, and right at the top of that list is this trip that we took, and so many answers to prayer. I began praying for the trip months before we ever went, and Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And God surely did show himself mighty and answered so many requests. One of the things that stands out is the weather. We had wonderful weather. I had prayed that the Lord would keep it cool enough for the men because I knew they were working on the roof. And Renee emailed me this week and said that since we have left, every day they have had torrential rain, every day since we have left. And yet the weather was just great while we were there, and the Lord was so gracious in taking care of that. The Lord protected us in many ways while we were traveling, as well as while the men were working and different things. I'm really thankful for those who went on the trip. Always, this has been mentioned, but always I get a great blessing from seeing our people serve the Lord with a very joyful spirit, and it's just such a blessing to see. And I'm thankful for the dedicated missionaries. Pastor Jody mentioned Rom this morning, but of course the Foreigns are near and dear to us after being with them. I'm so thankful for them. I know they have sacrificed much, but I know that great is their reward as well. And they are seeing the fruits of their labors. One of the neat things we got to do was to see three of the four former churches. We just drove to them and saw them, saw the buildings. It's kind of neat. 10 years ago when we were there, the one church was meeting in a home, in the top level of a home. And now they have their own building, their own property, and it's a beautiful, beautiful church. And that was neat to see how the Lord had provided there for them. I'm thankful for our country. This is going to seem strange to you, but I'll explain. I'm thankful for our country and our government. We had a different sort of experience on Thursday. Angela and Andrew and I were riding with the co-worker Kelly, and we were going to town, and we're on the main highway, and all of a sudden the military police came and set up pylons and ushered about 15 cars off to the side of the road, and we were among them. And of course he's speaking Portuguese and I'm not knowing what he says, and Kelly said he's asking all of us for our documents to make sure that we are driving legally and that we've paid all our fines and everything is in order. And she had all her papers there and tried to show him, and he would not even look at them. He just would not look at them at all. So they impounded her car and all those other ones. And the next day, she had to go about an hour and a half away and show her documents and pay the towing, even though they said, yes, you have all your documents, everything's in order. She said many times people will slip the policeman some money there at the stop, and then they let you go. But she was determined she was not going to do that. I was so frustrated, but Kelly was really calm. I thought, what an injustice to make this woman take her car that she has legally and make her go an hour and a half and pay a fine. And, you know, this is a missionary who probably has just enough support. And I was so frustrated, but the Lord convicted me. Kelly was so calm. She gave the policeman a track, still had the joy of the Lord. She said later, she said, "I'm not worried. God is my father." And I thought, oh, how convicting to me. But I am thankful. That made me realize that even though our country does have a lot of problems, we still have a lot to be thankful for here. We can call the police and feel safe, whereas as there, she said, people do not have that feeling. So I am thankful for our country. Last of all, I'm really thankful for the Brazilians who were so receptive. And ladies went to the plaza in the center of town and passed out. In less than 10 minutes, we passed out 100 tracts and invitations to the new church. It was just amazing. People were so receptive. Very few were turned away, and they were very appreciative. And I'm just so thankful. I know that God has promised to bless his word and that it would not return void to him. I was reading in Psalms, it says, "I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people." And I want to do that tonight. I want to praise the Lord for his goodness and for the blessings and answers to prayer.
Well, I want to thank the Lord that we had a wonderful opportunity. I had an opportunity to take my whole family on this trip 2 years ago. Angela and I and Andrew, our oldest, were able to go to Chile. And we had never really even envisioned. I didn't have a clue what the mission field was all about. I mean, we sit here in church and we see missionaries come and go, and we certainly support missions and believe in missions and all that, but didn't really know anything else about it. And after we got back from Chile, you know, the Lord really, really spoke to us. That was a wonderful opportunity, and such a wonderful opportunity. We wanted to make the sacrifice to this time around, take the whole family. And that was... that was a pretty significant, you know, thought process, decision, a lot of prayer, a lot of thought went into that. It's in the middle of the school year. And, you know, the devil was working on us, too. We would have doubts every now and then. I would feel the, you know, you're crazy, Ford. You don't need to be doing this. You don't need to be taking your family all the way or halfway around the world anyways. But, you know, the Lord really blessed, and... anytime you're doing anything worthwhile, something that you know God's in and he wants you to do, the devil is right there trying to attack you, trying to put doubt in your mind. And even just a week or two before we left, I had been pretty sick. I was feeling terrible. All three of my kids had gotten sick. And then I thought we were really in trouble when my wife got sick. But the Lord, he healed us all. When the trip time came around, we were all feeling well, and it was just such a blessing to be able to go on this trip. This trip was a lot different than the one we took to Chile. It was very much service oriented. There was a lot of hard work that went on this trip, and we were all able to work hard and get down there, hit the ground running, and do what we could. You know, I told Nathan, just, you know, the small amount of work we did there and the little bit of help, you know, making a difference, it was just a blessing to be able to do that. I know if many of you are like me, this isn't good, but many times we get very focused on the here and now, just the grind, day in, day out, and have been real busy at work and just all the stuff going on, you know, here at home. But to be able to leave that behind for a little while and to be able to go down to Brazil and work hard and know you're doing this for others. We're doing it for Nathan and his family, his mom and dad. But above and beyond all that, you're doing it for the Lord, and you're doing it to try to reach folks in Brazil. Maybe we'll see one day that have been saved through those ministries. And that's just a wonderful feeling, a wonderful privilege to be able to do that work. And I thank the Lord for it, that myself, my wife, and all three of my children, even though they're very young, and there were some things they obviously could not do, but there's a lot they could do. And they jumped in there and helped out with myself and with other groups that were working. And, you know, what I want to leave you with is just this thought. You know, we all have to do, we all have to work for ourselves. The Lord expects us to do that, to earn a living, to support ourselves, our families. But if you have the opportunity, and certainly we've all been given varying degrees of opportunity, but when you serve others, when you're working for others and putting others first, the Lord really blesses that. And seems like He blesses you more when you do that, when you put others first, than when you're focused on yourself. And we know that's true because the Bible tells us that. But to be able to live it, to experience it, again, it's just a wonderful opportunity. And I would encourage anyone here that has the opportunity, if the Lord ever impresses on your heart, to go on one of these mission trips, go. It's a wonderful blessing, a wonderful opportunity. You won't regret it. So I just want to leave you all with that thought. Thank you.
Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. I don't know what your perception of a missionary is and what they do. We went to Brazil to serve and to help Graham and Renee, but I think we got a greater blessing from their service. I got up early in the morning. I tried to get up, have my devotions, and watch the sun. I get up on the veranda at their house about 6 o'clock, watch the sun come up, sat there and read my Bible. Most generally, there was a pot of coffee already made. I may come out of the dorm and see Graham running up and down the hill. He was turning on the pump so we could have water that morning. They served us. You saw we ate well. We did a lot of eating. Well, Renee engineered all of this. The ladies helped, but we were well blessed from their service. We also got the privilege of seeing the results of our missionary giving over the years. I will tell you, a man did not bring four churches to autonomous status on his own wisdom. I remember Graham standing here one day and saying, people ask me what I do to be successful. He said, I don't know. I just do what God tells me to do. I just serve God. He serves people. And this is the missionary that we help support. Set in church on Sunday night, they start singing. The tunes were what we would call Christmas carols. Now, some of us sat there saying the words that we knew to the I have no idea what they were singing. Renee assumed that she wasn't with us. She was with Nathan that night. Assumed they were different words. But the excitement someday is going to sit in heaven. A guy that authored a book that I just finished reading, he said, we're going to spend 10,000 years just hearing the stories. And he said, I'm not even sure 10,000 years will be long enough. Maybe it's going to be 20. And I thought way back in the 70s when I was at working at a church camp in northern Indiana, hearing stories about Bangladesh. I'm gonna sit in heaven someday, hear the stories, how those guys came to know the Lord. We're gonna sit in heaven someday, hear those Portuguese people. Now, Gary assumes that we're gonna speak English in heaven. I don't know, but I know this. We're gonna be able to understand one another and be able to hear the stories and how Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church had a part in their salvation. And as you have been challenged, the labors are few. A city of over 20 million people, and we know of 5 independent Baptist churches. I know of other missionaries there too, but the need is great. Ask God what you can do.
First off, I just want to thank God that I could be a part of the mission trip. And you know, it's been said about Brother Gary, and everybody's mentioned that everybody should have the opportunity to go to do mission work. But you know, I found out over the years that the only ability that we need to be able to serve the Lord is availability. We must be available to go. You know, so if we set our mind and we make ourselves available, God will give us the opportunity to serve. But I just thank God that He gave me the opportunity to use the abilities that He has given me. It's a God-given ability that He's given me to do construction work. I'm a talker. I'm not a speaker. You know, as Brother Gary and these guys probably know, you know, I am a talker. I can talk a lot, but I'm not a real good speaker. I haven't mastered this language that I know very well, but but this he gave me the opportunity while we were there. The guy that was working on Graham's house, he was a carpenter, and he was doing the roof, putting the rafters on, and doing the roof on Graham's house while we were working on the other house. But we ran out of material, and we had opportunity to help this other guy some. And he was a pastor of a church. He wasn't an independent Baptist pastor. He was a pastor of Assemblies of God Church, which I've had the opportunity. We've been doing some other mission work with another group, and I've been involved with lots of these pastors from these Assemblies of God churches, which, you know, it was a good experience that God put me in, especially with Graham and this pastor. You know, this guy was, he was a really good friend of Graham's. And, you know, I talked to Graham about it one morning, but while we were helping this guy, when we ran out of material, we decided to help him do some of the clay shingles. And so there was plenty of us, so we seen a need that he needed help to carry the shingles, and it's a pretty good task. There was only 3 or 4 of those guys, and it was up on the roof, so we helped him about a half a day till we got our material. But while we were helping, I saw that he had this old beat-up skill saw that wasn't much good. So I decided I'd give him my skill saw, the one that I took, so I was going to leave it with him. And so I had talked to Brother Gary about it, and of course he kind of wanted to be there, I think. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know why. But I guess after what happened, I guess I could see. He didn't know, but so I got up early one morning, the guy was there, and I had Brother Graham translate for me. And so I told him I want to give him the saw, you know. So this guy, you know, he started crying, his tears running down his face. And so he's hugging me, and Brother Graham said, he wants to kiss you on the forehead, you know. And so I said, okay, that's fine. If he wants to kiss me, that's fine, you know. So he's a big guy, you know, big burly guy. So he hugged me and kissed me on the forehead, and I kissed him back, and, you know. But, you know, I expect that's, you know, that's tradition. So, but anyway, we had a good cry, you know, and it was really emotional with this guy, you know, and I prayed for him, you know. I sat and prayed for him and his church and his ministry, you know, and Brother Graham translated, you know, and this guy, you know, he really got really emotional. So that was, you know, one of the things with me, you know, because, and I talked to Brother Graham about it, even though he is a different denomination of a church, you know, he loved the Lord. There's no doubt this guy loved the Lord. He just, you know, maybe deceived in what some of the things that he believes or you know. So, you know, we can't, it was a good opportunity to me to see that even Brother Graham was in the same situation that I'm in sometimes with some of this mission work that I do. But, and, you know, you saw all the pictures of the work, you know, that went on, and that's really important. But the main thing about the work that went on was the fact that it was setting a way for Brother Nathan to be able to live in Brazil so that he can spread the gospel. And, you know, you didn't see the pictures of the guy that Brother Nathan preached one night. You know, they didn't get to take a picture and show you the picture of the guy that received Christ while he, you know, after the message that he gave. I mean, you know, this stuff's important, what we did, but, you know, it's, you know, the really important things that like with this guy that received Christ, and it encouraged Brother Nathan. I mean, that's, you know, he come back and was really encouraged about this guy receiving Christ. And then, you know, we was at the airport coming home. And of course, you know, it's my theory is always, in order to make friends, you must present yourself to be friendly, you know. So I, like I say, I'm a good talker. I just don't speak real well. But I got to speak to this young lady there in Brazil at the airport. So she spoke about as good English as I do, but she was a Brazilian. So I said, "Oh, we got a guy with us that he was raised here and he speaks Portuguese. You know, maybe you can talk to him." So he came back, and the real blessing was the fact that I got to see Brother Nathan sat and witnessed this young lady. She was going to, she was flying to California to visit, but she was going back to Brazil. And Brother Nathan shared with her where the church was, and it led to something that's probably going, this young lady's going to be back in Brazil when she gets back and be able to be involved with the church. She was really interested in the gospel, and she, you know, she didn't pray to receive Christ at this point, but she was really interested, and you could see the Holy Spirit working in her life. And, you know, we just, as always, you know, we just want to give God the glory about the opportunities he gives us to share. And we got to take advantage of every opportunity. You know, it can lead, every opportunity to speak with somebody can, you know, but we got to work somehow, you know, and what got it started, I asked the young lady if she attended church somewhere. You know, that's what got it started once I got speaking to her. And so that led up to Brother Nathan speaking with her. And then when we got on the plane in Dallas, we was flying back to Knoxville, just so happened God put me beside of a Brazilian guy that was flying to Knoxville. And so I couldn't understand him real well in English, and he couldn't me either. But so Brother Nathan was sitting over from me, and I said, "How about me and Brother Nathan swap seats?" And so that put Brother Nathan beside of him, even all the way from Dallas to Knoxville. So Brother Nathan shared with him all the way home, you know, so to Knoxville. So, you know, I don't know as far as, you know, we planted the seeds, and you know, God can make the increase. But that's the first time. So this was an older Brazilian man, and so Brother Nathan, you know, first time he'd ever heard the gospel. I mean, you know, it's hard for people to believe that, you know, that some people's never heard the gospel, but it's true. I mean, even people in America, they've never heard the gospel. You know, they know Christmas. They know what the holiday Christmas is, but they've never heard the gospel of what Christ did for us and what he can do for us. But anyway, that's, you know, it was a real blessing to be part of the team, and I thank God.
Well, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. I don't do as much as I should and what I should, but I've been on a mission trip many years ago with Brother Harry to Puerto Rico, and I've been in other countries. But I tell you, it gives you a renewed appreciation of our country, of all its faults. And the thing that impressed me was the work that Brother Graham, many of you know that he was on the staff here for 8 years, and the Lord called him to the mission field. And I think he's been on the mission field 28 years, is that right? And I tell you what, you talk about supporting a missionary that's really doing a work for God. Starting a sixth church, and Brother Nathan led his first convert to the Lord on one night there. And you think all good Christians are in America. And we've seen that here. We've seen missionaries come, and I tell you, some godly men. And you go over there and it's such sweet people. I tell you, when you have the Lord in your heart, it changes you. And the church we went to on Sunday, it was packed out, and just people are so sweet. And the work that Graham's doing over there, it's just a small dent, really. When you look at all the people, you go into San Paulo and just millions of people, it breaks my heart. And I see those buildings. We went up on the Italian building. And I looked over across and all those buildings, and I thought of all those people. Most of them's never heard the gospel. And some of them maybe never hear the gospel. And even with all the work that Graham's doing and Renee and Nathan's going to go over, I'm sure he's going to have a great work. It's a privilege to support our mission program. And when Pastor Lashley come here, 165 people, when you started the Faith Promise Missions, something like that, and how our church has been blessed and how our church has grew because of that mission program. And Pastor Lashley, I heard him say this, he feels like our church, God has blessed our church because of our heart for missions. And I tell you what, you go on a field, it'll give you a heart for missions. And you say, well, it costs a lot of money. Start saving your money. People borrow money for other things. I tell you, you talk about an investment and making a change in your life and your outlook on lost people and on missions. It'll give you a whole new outlook on the lost and the people that need to hear the gospel. And I tell you, it's a privilege to be part of the mission program here and support these missionaries. And we support some godly men, Dr. Cherian and Romero and the Forens and many, many others, just godly men that were led to the Lord by other missionaries and now have their own work in these countries. But it's been a privilege. Linda, she was apprehensive about going, and of course, she had never rode a big plane before, and the Lord blessed her. She got really a blessing out of it, and it was such a blessing just to be with the church people, and everybody worked so hard, and you work yourself to death, but yet you're being blessed at the same time because you're dedicating that time to serving God. And I encourage anyone, if you have the opportunity, to go on one of these mission trips. Even with all my aches and pains, I just kept pushing, and the Lord still blessed. But I thank the church for that opportunity and privilege.
And I hope it's been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me to hear so many good testimonies and so many scriptures go through my mind. And I saw these folks up here sharing their hearts and saw the pictures of what God did. That unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Every one of us that went down there went in faith, and you prayed, and many of you really did pray for us a lot, and God blessed. And I can't say enough thank yous, not only to this church, but to the Lord for what he did. And really, when you think of the dent that we make and talk about the work, you know, we have such a small vision. Because we don't know what God does with Anna's life. That was a girl's name in the airport there. God was stirring her heart and just working all over her. And then Reuben was the guy on the plane coming back to Knoxville. God put a Brazilian. I was like, man, you know, God just keeps putting these Brazilians next to Buddy so he can just set me up. It was just like set up every time to talk to these people that needed the Lord. And it really was. It was the Lord's divine appointments. Every step of the way, God puts you in the path. If you're willing to speak for him, he will put you in the path that you need to be on, and the Lord will do it. And only eternity will tell the investment that has been made through teams from churches like Buffalo Ridge, from our missionaries, from our faith promise, from our trust in God. And the passage that comes to mind is in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. It's talking about giving, but giving your lives, giving yourselves, giving ourselves, our time, our effort, our life. What is it really about? If you know Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior, your life is about the gospel. That's what it should be. That's what my life needs to be centered on. And I'm ashamed to say so many times I get my self-focus gets in the way and self takes over. And God doesn't want that to happen. When these folks came and they gave of themselves to make sure that we had a roof on our house, that touched our hearts. What a blessing to us. But you never know what the Lord will do with that. How many souls will be led to Jesus Christ if the Lord tarries in that living room? And how many people, even while we were there, we had a group come out for a church picnic, about 85, 90 people. Pastor got to preach to them and saw people come and be ministered to. And what a place. São Paulo, the Calcaia, there is a picture in there, Brother Buddy. There was a guy with a red background behind him. It was kind of a family group picture right in the middle of our video there. His name was Henrique. And Henrique, I was looking up some scriptures thinking about him. Romans 16:5 talks about a guy named Epaphroditus, and he was the first fruits of Asia. Paul calls him that. He's one of his co-laborers. Well, Henrique is the first fruits of Calcaia do Alto. He is the first one saved in that new church plant by the grace of God, because we got to be there and God worked in his heart. And who knows what God will do with Henrique. There are people like him all over Brazil that God saved one person in that family and then saved another, and his wife still needs to be saved, and his two-year-old son named Victor needs to know Christ, and his extended family. Well, he was reached because of an extended family member who was in one of the last church where mom and dad was working. I got to preach there in the Sunday morning, invited his brother-in-law to come Sunday night to the new church plant, and he got saved. Isn't that how it works? One by one, one person telling another person about the gospel. And all the labor and all the work, it's all going to be for the Lord. Nehemiah talks about the people who had a mind to work, and that was this team. They had a mind to work. And praise the Lord for the opportunities he gave our pastor, the opportunities out in Goiânia, the amazing things God did, the answers to prayer all the way through, not only the cold weather, but before it was hot, before we got there it was hot. All week long it was dry and mild, and the minute we left, I mean, literally the minute my parents were on their way back to our house there after dropping us off at the airport, and they got there with no electricity, and it rained so hard sideways that porch we were all sitting under, water drove in sideways under the doorways into the house, but it was completely dry under that roof. Amen. God gets the glory. Praise his name. And thank you, church, for praying for us. Thank you, team members, for going. And thank you for setting us up for the ministry that we're going to be going beginning in January. So pray for us and pray for the team. And thank you all very much for letting us go.
Well, this has been good. We give the Lord all the praise and all the glory. I was thinking just today of the Lord's work and how we as human beings get tied down with so many frivolous things, so many meaningless things, when there's a world that's lost and dying. And I want to tell this group that went, you did a great job, all of you. God bless you. And as your pastor, it may not mean anything to you, but I mean it. I'm proud of you. And it was my privilege to dig a hole while you all were putting up a roof and all these kind of things. There's some great holes that Ford and I dug over there in Brazil. We didn't do anything else. We didn't drive a nail, but we poked holes in the earth there in Brazil. And one of them, Nathan fell in. So anyway, it was good. That's the truth. That's not a joke. You know, in a service like this, I feel the Lord leading that we close this service by having special prayer for Brother Graham, Miss Renee. Have special prayer for Brother Nathan and his family who are going in January to move to the country of Brazil. And pray for Brother Rom and all these works. I'm going to ask Miss Tiffany, if you wouldn't mind, just to come to the piano, just begin to play. I never want to let a service come and go without giving people an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. Even in a service like this, it could be that the Lord is speaking to your heart about your soul. And here in momentarily, we're going to have just a brief invitation. And I'm going to invite as many people as would like to come to the altar. And let's pray. Let's pray for these missionaries. Let's ask God to touch them, put his hand upon them, keep his hand upon them, and use them in a mighty way. But during this time, if you're here and lost without Christ, you come. We'll be happy to take a Bible and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are lost people everywhere. And it could be that one of them is sitting in this church service. So if it's you, you come. And I'm gonna ask Nathan, if you wouldn't mind, just to kneel here at the altar. And I'd like for many of our folks to come and just surround him. And some of our leaders, maybe our deacons, our Sunday school teachers, some of our staff, just members, non-members, you come on now. And let's get around him. Ask God to touch him and bless him, breathe upon him. We're going to pray for his dad, his mom. Pray for he and his wife. Pray for Brother Rom and his family, that the Lord will touch them and bless them and encourage them. And may many, many people trust Christ because of their ministry. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. And if you're here tonight and do not know the Lord, please do not leave this church service without finding us. And we'll stay all night long with you if we have to point you to Jesus Christ. We're going to pray and ask God to help us. Our Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for this service. We thank you, Lord, for allowing this group to go to the country of Brazil. Thank you for how you spoke to their heart and blessed them and helped them. And how you used them in a mighty way. Put a roof on Brother Nathan's home and help with the framing in of this dormitory and helping this other dear pastor, as he was helping to build Brother Graham's house, the gospel tracts that were given, the gospel witness on the airplanes and there in São Paulo and other places. Lord, we praise you for what we saw. Praise you for the churches that's been established. I pray, our Lord, for this church, this brand new church that's been established there. Pray for this new convert. I pray that he truly trusted Christ. And I pray that this will open the door to his family, his wife, his children. And Lord, I pray that you'll touch these churches and help them to keep going for the glory of God. And I pray, Lord, that you keep your hand upon Brother Graham Foran. Pray for his precious wife. Thank you for how they served us while we were there and how they served you for many, many years. We pray for continued health. I pray that you'll bless their life, continue to use them, guide him as he leads this brand new church. And we pray that the exact number of churches that you desire to use that precious couple to establish, I pray for that many churches, not more, not less. We pray for your perfect number. Breathe upon them and use them. We pray, Lord, for Brother Nathan, his precious wife and dear children. Thank you if you open a door that he can go to the field in January. We praise you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'll guide him now as he goes. I pray for his wife and children that you'll help them to adapt very quickly. I pray that you'll touch them and help them to adapt to the culture, to the language. And I pray that you'll use him to win people to Christ and to establish local New Testament Independent Baptist churches. May churches be established until the trumpet sounds by the grace of God through this young couple that you've called. Thank you for calling them. Thank you for their willingness to go. Guide, lead, and direct as they're raising support. And may the will of God be done in their life. I pray that you'll keep the door open and get them there as quickly as possible. And Lord, I pray for Rom tonight. Pray for his precious family that he's requested prayer for and how the devil's been trying to oppress them. And I pray, our Lord, that you'll touch him and bless him. Bless him as he's leaving to go establish a fifth church. What a great thing. Help our church to do our part. And keep your hand upon these precious missionaries. And keep your hand upon this church. Help us to give as many dollars and cents to worldwide missions as you desire us to give. Will you bring people in that you want to be here and keep people in that you want to stay here and help us all to do our part in worldwide missions. Thank you again for this meeting, this trip, bringing us home safely. And keep your hand upon this place, I beg. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. I need to meet with the deacons real briefly, right here, right after church, right here in the center. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight.